Okay.
Yes. Oh, it's gonna be on tape. Maybe I should do it. Before, I heard that, I'm gonna sit down to my back, killing me just at least for now. I heard that some people might be going to the Wizard of Oz next week. Okay, and anybody here? Wow, okay, so because of that, I wanna tell you two things. First of all, I started doing, when I started going into teaching, I decided to use television and movies as a way to teach Jewish values. So my doctorate is exactly that. And even though I never wrote actually a lesson plan, I had planned to. One of the most Jewish movies in the world is Wizard of Oz. I don't know if you know that. Okay, first of all, the name. You know where the name comes from? What is Oz? And don't tell me Australia, that's what slave.
Eretz Utz.
Eretz Utz. It's in the Tanakh. Okay? The land of Utz. The land of Oz is in Tanakh. That's first of all. David, two stars. Let me bring the questions. Second thing is.
No candy. Sorry.
Okay. My students, I throw out candy. Okay. Second thing is, you think about it. Okay? Even though I looked him up, the guy who wrote it is was a very religious Christian. He somehow knew Mishnah. The whole Wizard of Oz is based on the Mishnah in Avot. Okay, think about it. What does it say? Because the whole message is what you think is a brain is not a brain. What you think is courage is not courage. Where do we get that from? It's in the Mishnah Avot. Benzon Ezu Achacham Amei Kol Adam. Ezu Agibor. Who is a wise person? Who learns from every man. Who is strong person, a person with courage, etc., etc.? It's right in the Mishnah. I don't know if he purposely stole, but it's all in one Mishnah, everything about courage, and what else it goes on to say, who is wealthy, etc., etc. So it's the same idea. And the last thing, I mean, to say, the whole idea is, which one is the real world? The one, which of Dorothy's experiences is the real world? I'm not sure. That after going through everything she experienced, she learned more from being there than she did the rest of her life in Kansas. But that's, again, if we wanted to develop the sources, you could take the whole thing, take it apart. Oh, and most important thing is, the writers of all the songs, I don't know if you know this, the writers of all the songs were immigrants from Europe. Okay? Jews. All Jews. Two Jews. Who wrote all the songs for Wizard of Oz. Gershwin helped on one song. And when they wrote Somewhere Over the Rainbow, they were thinking about what the Nazis were doing in Europe. And they believed, they said afterwards, they wrote about the idea that there was going to be another place to go to after Nazi Europe. And some said they even talked about, that meant about Israel, right?
Harold Arlen.
You can look up the names. They're, I think,
Harold
from, what?
Harold Arlen.
Okay. And I don't know if they wrote everything else, but they wrote these fantastic words and music. Okay, it's now 7:30, we can start, right?
Yeah.
So, in the spirit of Purim, I'm going to start with these sources. You'll see what I'm saying. I decided, thank you, instead of starting with the first sources, we'll start with the last sources. So, if you see, we're going to learn 102 sources tonight. You have? Okay, we're not going to learn 102 sources, don't worry. Okay, in the last hour, I thought of adding this on, but it's a great way to begin the topic. First of all, how many people here are retired? Raise your hand. Okay, that's 80%. Of the people here who are retired, how's the best way to ask this? How many people here felt they were forced to retire? Raise your hands. Good. Nobody. That's very good. Okay, we're going to come back to that question. And based on everybody said they're retired, what's the definition of retirement? You're all retired, but you don't know what it means. What is retirement?
Fired again.
So what?
Fired again.
Hired again.
Fired.
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 Rehired?
No, retired. Hired.
Again. I heard it twice, three times.
I don't know. They mean
retreads.
Notice, we're going to talk about a topic. We can't even define the terms. Okay. I was going to say the person who had the most right in the whole Torah to retire was Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Okay. What did God ask him to do? What did God ask him to do? If you don't know, look at source 99. I'm sending you to Paro, and you will take my people out of the land of Mitzrayim. Right? Okay. Moshe takes the people out. Takes a year or two. 2 or 3 years approximately. He takes them out. And after he takes them out, he could have easily gone to God and said, I did what you said. Rabbi, I'm retiring. Is it okay? So God says, no, I want you to continue. At least give him the Torah. So he waits 7 weeks, and he gives him the Torah. Comes down, they're worshiping the guy, golden calf. Okay, so you have to go another 6 months till he gets atonement on... by the way, how old was he when he started his job?
80
years old, second part of 99. So he started at 80 years old. He's certainly prime his age, right? Lest you think, when is 80? At that time, 80 years old was very late, right? Not true. Okay? Because in source 100, which I'm not going to go into, we know that after... So Moshe could have said after God, I gave the Torah. That's it. I want to retire. Let me spend time with my children, with my wife. I already complained. I don't spend time with my family, right? And the Torah... Hashem says no. Okay. He didn't actually have this conversation, but Hashem doesn't let him go. But everybody else, remember, after the sin of the spies, what happened to everybody in that generation? Everybody died at the age between 20, everybody who was 20 died within those 40 years, 20 to 60, correct? Which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. Okay? So that means there was nobody older than 99 in the whole all Jewish people. When Moshe gets to 99, he says, listen, I'm the oldest person around, except my sister, my brother.
My brother's mother.
Please.
Yocheved.
Huh?
Yocheved.
Yocheved wasn't alive now. At least according to the Torah, it doesn't say she's alive. But okay. Anyway, so Moshe could have said, I'm the oldest guy around here. Why should I continue? I don't want to. Not only that, if you look at source 101, I'm not going to, don't have to look at it right now. Moshe could have said, God, I have nothing to do. I have no work because it says the time people died during those 38 years, God did not speak one word to Moshe. Okay? We don't know what happened during the 38 years, but it says in Rashi, and it says in the Gemara that Moshe didn't get any nevuah. So he had nothing to do. He wasn't teaching the people anything. So if anybody had a right to say, I want to retire, Moshe had a right, and he didn't retire. Okay? The end of the story, though, is Moshe is called Eved Hashem, and Moshe is called the servant of God. And how old was he when he died? 120 years old. Remember that number. We're going to come back to the very end. But look what it says in the end of the Torah, the last verse. Umoshe ben Meyaveh Esrim Shana. He was 120 years old. Bimotel when he died. Lo keata inov lo nas lucho. It means he never withered at all. He looked young. He acted young. He was as spry as they come. Okay? So maybe the reward for not retiring, we'll talk about that in a minute, is staying spry. Now that I finish with the Purim Torah, which is, you know, not stupid, but it's, you can certainly argue it. Anybody know who in the Torah wanted to retire?
These are the
reasons.
All of them. Who wanted to retire?
Who wanted to retire in the Torah? Anybody know? It's right in Rashi. Okay.
Yonah.
No. Look at source number two.
Oh boy.
OK? Okay, remember, there was the people who were named for, B'nai Yisrael, who were named for Yisrael, who was Yisrael?
Yaakov.
Yaakov works very hard for Laban. He gets cheated out, he thinks he's going to get one wife, he gets four wives. He wants to, all kinds of problems, right? He has to get out of town with Laban. He comes back to Israel, his homeland, and it says in source number two, Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz medurei aviv be'eretz Kanaan. The best way to translate this, I guess, Vayeshev, he planted himself. He ensconced himself in the land of his parents, his ancestors, in the land of Kanaan. What does Rashi say, right? Why does it say the word Vayeshev and not Vayagar? The different words are saying living. So Rashi says, based on the Talmud, Bikesh Yaakov Leshe B'Shalva. Yaakov wanted to retire. He wanted to have peace and quiet. He didn't want anybody to bother him. He wanted to put his feet on the hammock, and he didn't want any more troubles in his life. That's what it says, correct? What does it say? Kafas alav rogzo shel Yosef. I don't know the best way to translate what rogzo means here, but immediately, what happens? All the troubles with Yosef, right? That lasted him almost throughout all his life. Immediately after that, okay, and all the problems that started after Vayeshev, that we know of all the stories, right? So what does the Rashi say? Tzadikim evakshim leishev rishpalvo. Any tzadik who wants to relax, take it easy, I guess would mean not be involved with the tzibur. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Lo dayan tzadikin, mashe mitukan lahem l'olam haba. It's not enough that they're going to get all their relaxation and their rewards in the world to come. Elam shemavakshim leshei b'shava b'olam hazeh. You want to take it easy in this world? There's no taking it easy. There's no retiring from being a leader of the generation. That's what Rashi says. Okay? So, again, I ask you, nobody could define it. What's the definition of retirement? Okay? Now I can give you legal definitions, and we're going to see that the word retirement, the way you and I understand it, you think it's been around for a long time. Not been around very long. Okay? What does retirement mean? Legally, it means leaving your job where you got paid, right? Because you're sick, because of age, or because of whatever reason, and no longer being part of the workforce. That's really what we would find retirement, correct? Okay. That idea is, before we get to the Jewish idea, first of all, that idea is only 150 years old, believe it or not. There's references to Roman soldiers who retired after a certain amount of years of service. They got a pension from the government, but there's no such thing as retiring. First of all, 90% of them didn't make it alive, but that's beside the point. I mean, people died, but they got some kind of pension. The first government to ever give, and well, so what if I retire? When you leave, if I leave and I win the lottery and I no longer have to work, am I retired? Why? If I never have to work, am I retired? So what does retirement mean then? You need the money, but you can't earn it anymore? What does it mean?
You finished your job.
You finished your job. Okay. Yeah. Whose decision was it to retire?
Yours.
Okay. Not always, we'll see. Okay. It's your decision to retire. What factors are in there that make you want to retire?
Pension.
Ah, a pension. So that if you had the same pension at the age of 25, you could have retired then.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
So I'm saying. So therefore, I don't have to work anymore is what you're saying is retirement. But that's not what's saying is retirement, is it? Yes or no? Okay, we're going to see. It makes a very big difference. Okay, so the concept of retirement, as I said, was unknown in the ancient world for a very simple reason. You worked as long as you could work, and when you were too old or too infirm or sick and you couldn't work anymore, you stopped working. There was no age, there was no definition. especially in an agrarian society, if you're out and working in the fields, and I can no longer schlep, you know, work in the fields, then you don't work anymore, right? Okay, you know, the old story about this woman who used to work out the field, and every year she got pregnant. Every year she got pregnant. And after about the 13th or 14th child, they finally asked her, said, why do you get pregnant every single year? It's the only way I could take a day off.
Your teachers are doing that today.
Right? Your teachers. I don't know if teachers get pregnant and take a day off, but in Israel, you get 3 months off. Okay. But what? So the idea of retirement was unknown in the world because you worked and you couldn't work anymore. Believe it or not, you're going to see how serendipity the idea of retirement is, and the idea of a pension and the idea of Social Security is, because in the 1889, the government in Germany, what was ruled by Otto von Bismarck, he was being threatened by the left wingers who said we have to have mercy on our older people, and we have. So he decided to have, for the first time ever, a government system where they would pay the old people, right, money like a recognition for service. Okay. Now listen to this. What was the law? The law is anybody who was 70 and over got a small amount of money. Okay. What's the only problem? The average age in Germany at that time was about 45, 42. Okay. Which means about 12 people got a pension. It was only on the books. Nobody actually got the money. And if you're laughing at that, you'll laugh at this one even more, because it affects some people in this room. There was a Great Depression in the United States, and people were out of work, and people were worried, what's going to happen if I can't get work anymore? So Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the Democrats decided, we're going to put into place a system called Social Security. But we're going to put a Social Security for the people, A, who couldn't physically work, okay, that means because they were sick, etc., etc., but mostly for people who were going to retire, okay? And they had a certain amount of money that they decided. How did they decide, what age did they decide they're going to get money, you'll get your pension? So it's very important.
65.
No, what time? 1935, when they made the Social Security law, right? They decided that the age that you're going to get the pension is 65. Okay, why 65? Because the average age of death at that time was 50. Death, okay? And they had this amount of money, and they figured out that if we give the money that we have to 65, the money will cover itself. People paying in, people going out. Within 5-10 years, people started living a lot longer. And all of a sudden, Social Security became not something for a few people, became something that people looked forward to. And most people today, obviously, people today live to not to 50, not to 60, but to over in their 80s. And therefore, people had to pay in a lot more over the years and all kinds of ways that it's paid for. I don't know if you know, this is really on the table right now. The 4 or 5 Republicans who don't want to extend the debt, which would send the world into a depression if they don't do that, say we want to modify Social Security, the most popular program in the government. They don't care, because they're going to get elected anyway. And they say we're not going to vote. So it's on the table. Anyway, but Social Security came into being in 1935, and after that, most countries copied the system of the United States. And therefore, even though the United States was the most capitalistic country in the world, this is a very socialistic idea that you're guaranteed money, right? Oh, you gotta pay in, et cetera, et cetera. And we have it, you do up on me, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody got that, right? Okay, so that's how they decided 65. What's the problem? The problem is, especially Israel probably is going to feel it more than others. After they made laws that will help people, because this was made to help people that couldn't afford it, many people can't afford it. They didn't have in 1935 a 401k, and they didn't have all this, people didn't have money to live on, so this allowed them to live, right? Unlike, by the way, if you go to Russia today and you get sick, OK? Yeah, you know, and I say Russia, not about the war or anything, I don't know, but I've seen this. You get sick, and you don't have money to pay for the hospital as you walk in, it won't take you, and you could die. They don't care, okay? And there's no money for food. There are no food trucks, and there's no this. And you don't have money to take care of yourself for food? Too bad. One of the great things that the Jewish community did is a tremendous, I mean, I'm in time, but okay, Kiddush Hashem, is they opened up in every Jewish community after 1991 a chesed fund. Most of the money, a lot of the money, came from the reparations that the Germans gave, and they extended it to anybody who was alive during the Holocaust, even though the Germans and Russians were on the same side, different side, whatever, it didn't make a difference. And they were able to open up what they call chesed in every city. And then, for the first time ever, probably in Jewish history, the goyim came and said, we want to be Jewish. We want to have a meal. They would give them a hot meal once a day, programs, right? And all of a sudden, non-Jews said, we want to be like the Jews. Can you give us some food? And can you give us? And they said, and they talked about this in the 94, 95, and they said yes. And there are many non-Jews who are taking part in this program, but it's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. So all of a sudden, it's cool to be Jewish, and that they look up to the Jews because they have these programs. And part of it is they fix medical equipment, etc. But there's no retirement, and there's no pension. It's like $10 a month. You know, something, you know, crazy, stupid like that. Nothing doesn't pay for anything. Okay. So most countries have a system. What I want to come to, this is a very touchy point. It's one thing to say, Steve, when you don't feel like going out anymore doing your job, okay, we want to help you, okay? It's a different thing to say, Steve, you can't do your job anymore. You're too old, okay? For the first time in the last 25 years, they started making ages where people had to retire, which is a very different thing than helping somebody who needs to retire or wants to retire, okay? And I'm not going to get into that specifically, but if you think about it, and I don't say this because of the average age in this room, I say this because if you think about it, it makes absolutely no sense. If somebody has Alzheimer's, I understand, so you can't do the job. But to have a Supreme Court justice have to retire at 70 is nuts. Is nuts today. Because that's where they're probably at this, they're, in terms of experience and everything else, at the height of their powers, right? And they all have to retire. Why? When they made the law 30 years, even if it was 30 years ago, why do they make it? It's crazy. But today, people have to retire. So what I say is only true in Israel. In almost every other country in the world, in every Western country in the world except Israel, where the number of people being born does not equal the number of people who are retiring and dying, therefore, people are not being pushed out of jobs because they people want to retain them because there's nobody to take their place. In Israel, though, the only country where we are facing, it's a problem. Somebody is in their 60s and wants to continue working and is perfectly capable. Should they be able to continue working or not? They want to. Everybody says, yeah. Okay.
So they're taking somebody's place.
What?
They're taking somebody's place.
Who's taking whose place?
The older person. So there's a younger person in line trying to get a job.
Oh, you're saying that because the person's been working for 40 years, yeah. He has to move aside.
Yeah.
And how long does he have to work before he is forced aside? What age? We'll talk about it when it comes to it.
When
you're
62?
I'm not talking about when you can retire. When you must retire. Right? And by the way, I'm not necessarily a big fan of the idea of I'm a big movie fan, as you've heard before, but of Shlishi B'Shleikus, because, right? Because there are many, many wealthy people, there are many, many extremely wealthy people who are 70 years old and go and pay 10 shekel for a movie when they could afford to pay 10,000 shekel for a movie, right? Should they be granted special dispensation because they're 70 years old? You know, I understand not standing in a post office, but that doesn't mean that they should, you know, whatever. So it's not a simple issue, okay? Now, so far I haven't, except in the beginning, haven't talked about anything Jewish, but let's go one step further, then we'll get to the Jewish thing. So we said that forcing somebody to retire, should they be forced to retire, which we'll talk about, and what does it mean to retire? It's a, when you're working on a salary, you're no longer on a salary. But if you're not working on a salary, let's just say, you have a rabbi or a teacher or whatever who's not working on a salary. Should that person have to retire? Should that person, as long as they're effective, should they be able to continue as long as they want?
No.
It's not costing anybody anything.
Yeah.
And it, you understand? Okay. With that, I'm going to ask you now, believe it or not, we're going to see that there's an actual source in the Torah forcing people to retire. Okay? Anybody here can get 3 candies. You won't get it. It's a small source. But we're going to talk about how does Judaism look at retirement, because they assume this like we do, which is incorrect, because I see the people in this room, that after you finish a job, what do most people do? And that's what do people do when they retire?
Sleep
longer?
Move to Israel.
Sleep longer.
Move
to Ashkelon and talk about that the beach had a black or what kind of flag is that today? Right? What do people do when they retire?
Volunteer.
Volunteer. And you're going to see, most people will, if you ask in the non-Jewish world, what does retirement mean? Put your feet up on the... relax, have the drinks with the umbrellas. It's not being active, right? So the assumption is retirement means pulling back from being an active life and all of a sudden, and taking it easy, okay? That we're going to see the sources spoke about, and we're going to see what the Gemara says is very much in sync with what the scientific studies have proven. So we'll start with source number 1 and 3, it's almost the same source. It says the following. Shimon ben Akasha over there, Ziknei Am Haaretz, the people who are unlearned, right? And therefore, after they retire, they have nothing to do. Because remember, 500 years ago, what are you going to do? Volunteer for what? What are you going to volunteer for? Help the other guys in the field? Right? What are you going to do? There's nothing to volunteer for. There are no hospitals. There are no yatsaras. There are nothing organized in the community, except in the Jewish community. Well, what's that? But anyway, see, you're old and you can't work anymore. You sit around all day. Ziknei ha'aretz, the people who are old and who are unlearned, kol zman she'ein maskinim, the more they sit around and the older they get, da'atan mitrefet olehem. Slowly but surely, the Alzheimer's comes to them, or dementia. Doesn't mean physical dementia. It means their mind is not as active as it was, and therefore they atrophies. Like any muscle, I believe the mind is very much like any other muscle. The more you use it, that's what it says. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. Okay. Shneimar mesia safar amanim. I'm not going to go through what the sources mean, what the pasuk means. The Talmud gaining yikar. Avdal ziknei Torah einan kein. Somebody who knows how to learn Torah and can spend the, quote, free time that there's now a lot of, like you said, going to shiur, ain't okay. It's the opposite. Ela kol zman sheheim leskinim. The older they get, da'atam mit yashevet alehem. They are, technically it means they are more at peace with themselves, but it also means they are able to understand better. Okay? Sheneimar mishishim chachma ve'orach yamim tzuna. Okay, what's interesting is that you said they volunteer. People who are active after the age of retirement or go into another profession. When I say profession, I don't mean necessarily getting paid. The people who do that obviously stay active and longer. The people who don't lose focus and obviously don't stay alive as longer, as long as the other people, everything else being equal. Chas v'shalom, you get sick, you can't help it, but I'm talking about that. Okay. Source number 3 says the same kind of thing. Tanya Mishmael Bar Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tamid Chachamim Kol Zman Shemaskinim Chachman Tosefet Bahem. Not only do you feel good about yourself, it says your wisdom gets stronger, your wisdom gets deeper. Okay? Shenemar, Bishishim, Yishim, the same pasuk, the one from Eov. V'yameh ha'aret kozman shenazkinim, tipshut nitosefet bahem. Foolishness. Okay? I believe there's a reason why people who are extremely wealthy, kids today, who are extremely wealthy, get involved with drugs, illicit things, because they have so much free time, they need to get a high. I can't get it from whatever, and I'm not going to go into details, but it's the same thing. All of a sudden you have free time, you do things that, you know, just to occupy yourself, have a good time. And that doesn't help you grow as a person or as a, and then your brain, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Even, this is about teachers in source number 4. Halomei min haktanim, when you learn from a young teacher, this is not talking about a baby, when you learn from a young teacher, mamahu domeh, what is it similar to? Lo'ochel anavim keho, b'shote yayin megato. We are not experts in what wine and grapes, but it basically means you drink the wine from the vat, okay? And you eat, drink, you have, you, and you eat that grapes that are unripe. Well, maybe it's not skin in, but if you learn from somebody who has experience, you eat ripe, tasty grapes. The shote yayin yashan, old wine is better than new wine. Okay, so what does it mean? It means that teachers who have experience, who still haven't lose their marbles yet, are more effective because they understand how to get through to people. Right? I'll get there someday. Okay. That was, the next one is very, very harsh, and I never told you the story. I tell you a story about Rav Scheinberg? Not important. I'll tell you a story. But it's how we look at things. And this is what we're saying also. This great rabbi was going to America from Israel, and he had 10, 12 of his relatives there, you know, it was very common, on I'm not sure it was Elal, let's say Elal, and sitting next to him by was another old gentleman who's not Jewish. And during the flight, every 5 minutes, his grandchildren used to come up to him. I didn't tell you the story?
No. Okay.
And they would say, Zaidi, what can I do for you? Abba, what can I do? Little kid, big it, whatever. And they would take care of him, have his every need, et cetera, et cetera. So after this goes on for a while, the guy who's not Jewish says to his, listen, excuse me, I don't want to bother your flight or whatever, but he says, I have grandchildren also, and I can't get them to talk to me. I can't get them, they don't have any respect for me, and I see how these little children respect you. How is it that you get them to respect you and listen to you and love you the way you do? They do. He says to me, he goes, you come from a world where the newer, the shinier, the better. And the last generation you have to rebel against because we have something better. Technology trumps everything, and we have new ideas, throw out the old ideas. In Torah and Judaism, where we come from, the closer you are to Sinai, the more holy you are, and therefore we look up to people from previous generations. Yeah? And the next source seems to say the same thing, but not so much about holiness, about young people are anxious to get things done, right? But don't necessarily have the experience to think things through. So look what it says, and again, we're approaching retirement a little bit, okay? Source number 5. Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Im yomru lecha yiladim b'nei, if the younger generation says build, right? Just build. I'm reminded of China today. What's the name of the corporation that's about to go bust and depressed and be checked on? Kept building, and had everybody's mortgages and forgot the name of the company. And they built for the last 20 years. And now they can't build anymore, they have no money, etc. It says in the younger generation says Binay, Luzakenin Omrim store, but if the older generation says this is not the time to build, this is the time to get rid of the buildings. Okay? Shmalus Kenin Ba'al Tishmal Yiladin. Trust what the elder generation says, not the younger generation. In other words, they see deeper than the younger generation. Shebinyan Yiladim Stira, because often the building of young people is destruction. Stirat Kenim Binyan. Okay, you understand where this is going. In other words, we appreciate experience. We appreciate the older generation. Not only that, the very famous Mishnah in Avot, Source number 6. You know what it means when I say a famous Mishnah? It means I know what you don't. But this is famous Mishnah. Ben Bagbag Omer, Hafofa, Hafofa, Kulava. That's a very famous Mishnah. If you look deep enough, you can find anything good in the world is in Torah. And that's the Mishnah. But it continues. Uba Techazi. And then it says, and then look into it. And then it says, Siv Ubalaba Umineilo Tazua. I underline it so you know what it means. And become gray and old therein. In other words, get joy out of searching and searching and searching and learning and delving deeper and deeper. In other words, it's a good thing to become old and gray as you seek the Torah. Okay, don't move away from it, etc., etc. Okay? Again, this is talking about people who are older, who have nothing to do. Look what it says in the source 7, Medrash. Divrei Havtala Magiyin Et Ha'adam. You know what Havtala means, right? Unemployment, right? If you're unemployed for a long time, what does that mean? Magiyin Et Ha'adam, it makes you tired and weak because you have no incentive to get up. You don't have a reason to get up in the morning, right? You don't get up. And even if you don't, I'm not talking about you can't sleep an extra hour, that's not what I mean. I'm not talking about going to chakras either. I'm talking about having a purpose in life. If you lose your purpose in life and work was everything you did, retirement means I don't have a purpose in life, right? It's going to affect your life, okay? 7, 8 is the same as 7, and now we come to the kicker. So it seems that the older you are, the more respected you are, the better you are, etc., etc. All of a sudden, source number 9, the Torah says, now remember, people's value, I'll read it to you, and I'll put it that in there. When I said, there's a concept in the Gemara of, I want to donate my value, my physical value, my value, to the Beit HaMikdash. How much am I worth? So I think the scientists say if you take down all the chemicals of the human being, it's $3.46, et cetera, et cetera.
That's all science.
Right? Maybe with inflation it's $5.
That's all science.
What?
That's the old science.
Oh, now it's higher.
Oh, shh.
Okay, let's take a look at this. This is in the Torah.
$1 billion.
It says, if you say I want to donate my, don't leave after the source, please. If you say I want to donate my value to the Beit HaMikdash, but if I was a man who was 25 years old till the age of 60 years old, that then you're worth 50 shkalim at that time. Okay, the imnikevahim, and if it's a woman from 25 to 60, don't leave. Worth not 50, but 30. Okay? The imni ben chamesh shanim yad ben eshrim shana. And if you are that person who wants to donate, I don't know how a 5-year-old donates, but 5 years old till the age of 20. Vayakach azachar eshrim shkalim. The man is 20. Nekeva sarach shkalim. 10 shkalim. The imni ben chodesh ad chamesh shanim. And if you, from the age of, say, I want to donate the value of my child, right? From the age of one month till the age of 5 years, ayerkecha zachar chamishash kalim, five shkalim kesef, and the kevash shloshash kalim. Okay. Now, this is the reason I brought it, not because of the first four, but you can have a good fight afterwards about that. The imi ben shishim shana b'mala. If you are older than 60 years old, im zachar v'hayayerkecha chamishasar shekel, you go down from 50 to 15. And a woman goes down from 30, right? 30 to 10. This is in the Torah, right? This part they don't want you to learn, right? No, it's in the Torah. Everything's in the Torah for a reason, okay? What's going on here? You think a woman is I'll ask it a different way. Is a woman worth less than a man? No. Is a man more than 60 worth less than a person under 60? No, then how come they're worth less? Is that they're worth less? Okay.
Worthless?
Not worthless, but worth less. Okay? So in order to understand this, okay, I'll go one step further. It never says this actually in the Torah, but it's very well understood. When they counted the Jews who left Egypt, how did they count the Jews?
By men who were a certain age, fighting age.
Take a look. What age? Source number 10.
20
Niben Hashim Shana, correct. 20-year-old men. Kol Yotzei Tzava Yisrael Tzidu Otam Tzidu Otam Akal Aron. From the age of 20, they would go out to war. Okay? It never says how late, but again, because of time, I'm not going to be able to do every source. Source 11 says from 20 until 60 was the age that they went out to war, and they use source number 9 as the proof.
Okay?
What source number 9, 10, 11 are all talking about, okay, are all talking about is the worth of physical labor, okay? And therefore, if a person who is 5 years old obviously can't do as much labor as a person who is 10 years old. And a person who is 40 can't do as, that does more, and we'll see this to be true in halakha as well, 40 can do much more than a person who is 15. But a person who is 60, at least remember, at that time, the average age of people was 50, 60, 40, and whatever. So 60 was a very old person at that time compared to others. But they went to war 20 to 60, okay? So in terms of physical value, how much you can schlep, right? They say women can't schlep as much as men. I'm not talking about they can't. They actually do schlep more than men because the men don't want to. They're lazy. But that's a different reason. I'm talking about in terms of physical. Now, again, I don't know the science. You've got to talk to a biologist. What's the ratio? But that's why we have in all sports activities separation between men and women, because it wouldn't be fair if you had men and women competing, because the men would always win in something that requires strength.
You're doing it.
In strength.
You're doing it now.
What?
Men are competing with the women.
Yeah, yeah. If you say you're transgender and you take enough what do you call it?
Hormones.
Whatever to have the strength. They allow them to compete when you're competing, because it's not an equal field. But as far as I know, most women aren't as strong as men. It's a physical fact. The same way most men can't give birth, as far as I know. Okay?
Most.
It's a physical fact. Okay? Anyway, so source 9, 10, 11 is talking about physicality. All right? Now, all right, that's what it says. Ah, so the Ramban says in source number 12, I underline it and put it in bold. Why 20 to 60? Kihain ikar yimei ha'ish, because these are the time you are physically most capable. Okay? Most capable physically. And therefore you go to war, and you don't go to war at that time. Source 13 is a man, I don't think he's alive anymore. Menachem Salih, he wrote, from a Jewish perspective, what is the Jewish attitude towards retirement. So I'm not going to do that now. We'll come back to it a little bit later. And then comes, again, this is an even more important source. Source 14. And this is going to help us understand a lot of things. Anybody here a Levi? Okay.
So
they're not talking about you specifically, okay? What was the role of the Levi in the temple? Well, very, very good answer, but I said in the temple. Temple, there was no Mishkan anymore.
The same.
Very good. No, you're a good lady. Okay? Source 14 says the following. This is the source that says, you must retire.
Yeah.
Okay? Look at this. V'zot asher l'alaviyim mi'ben chamesh v'eshim shana v'mala. You ever heard of the Chabad says, you know, you're in the army of Hashem? This is where it comes from. It says, you have to be in the army of Hashem to serve God when you're 25 years old if you're a Levi. Once the Levi is 50 years old, Bamala. I'm sorry, they skipped something here?
No.
Yeah,
Ben
Chamishim Shana, Yashuv, Mitzavah, Vodah, Velo, Ya'avod, Oh. He must retire at the age of 50. Okay? Today's, that 50 is probably 75 today, but I'm not talking about that. We'll see in a moment. Why does he have to retire? This is going to be a question we're going to deal with in the next 6-7 minutes. Rashi says, because of the following, because what you said, the lo yavod ot, avodat masav b'katef, because the Levim had to carry the tabernacle. Uh-huh. You know what it is to carry a tabernacle? It's a lot heavier than this. Okay? They had to carry it from place to place for 30, 40 years. Rashi says, avodat masav b'katef, they had to put it on their shoulders. Avol chozer hu le'ilat sha'arim lashir l'ton agalot. He says, but at the age of 50, he doesn't retire, but he closes the gates of the temple. Now, he ordered the gates he's mixing a little bit here. To sing, he closes the gates, he lashir, l'shir, we're going to come back in a second, l'ton agalot, and to choose the calves for the sacrifice. He will serve his brethren. How does he serve his brethren? By helping them out with the singing, with the closing of the gates of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? The Medrash says, doesn't agree with Rashi. The Medrash in 15 says, why can't he no longer serve at the age of 50? I know some people at the age of 30, but this fulfills too, but he couldn't stay in Mishkan. Because at the age of 50, their voice went. Apparently, in those days, at the age of 50, a person no longer could project voice. And that was the main thing that they had to do. They would open and close the gates of the temple. Okay? Again, there's an argument if they have to, we'll see in a second. The argument if we're talking about physical labor or not. Basically, we'll see the Rambam disagrees, but we'll see something else which is also interesting. Skip to 17, see if the time is going. We have to do 16, because it says the following. Nasoat rosh b'nei kahat v'tap b'nei levi, v'shchotam v'tay tavotam. Count the b'nei kahat, which is one of the families of Levi. They do the avodah, the actual carrying in the desert, from the age of 30 until the age of 50. In other words, they appointed them at 25. 5 years they had to learn the malacha, and at 30 they started actually carrying. And it says in Rashi, they selected those who could schlep. The Haini, then Shoshim Yad Hanishim Shana. The Habachobi Shoshim Nandit Ma'alu Koho. Before the age of 30, you weren't strong. Okay, I don't know if that's true today, but that's at the age of 30. I guess if you look at athletes, the average age of their highest excellence is about 30, correct?
Yes.
Okay, which is interesting. This is long before they were athletes. And Kanam Ruben Shoshim Lekoach. The Mishnah in 17, when it talks about different ages of man, in Pirkei Avot, in 17, says the age of 30 is maximum strength. And it says, the Hayotero ben Chamishim, Kacho Machpish Me'ata, his physical strength is less. And when it says ben Chamishim La'etza, the Ravadi Pribatanura says, at the age of 50, he would give advice. If we had time, I wish I could set up a system where the older people in every profession would have an actual task to train and use their experience to help the people of previous generations. They tried this in New York State, where they would have a master teacher, they weren't so interested. It was just a way of making money. The younger generation also wasn't so interested. It didn't work, but it could work in many reasons. Okay, what does the Rambam say about this halakha? Zeshin emar b'tara b'leviyin and ben chamishim shana yashu mitzavah avodah. Again, this is a function of physicality. The only time the Levian were forced to retire at the age of 50 was when they were carrying the physical tabernacle in the desert, he says. The Eino Mitzvah no Heget was the Rov, but in the later generations, you didn't have to stop at 50. Avul the Rov, Ein HaLevi Nifsal Shanim, a lady would not be kicked out because of age. Below the Numin, Ella Bekol, she's Kakel Kolo. He says, but if your voice was bad, because that was the main, when I say bad, if Kalkel would say his voice went down. Okay? He no longer could project his voice. Now remember, Beit HaMikdash was a big place, right? And they're only reckoning 30, 40 Levim singing. He couldn't project, obviously, but that's also a something wrong. May Rov Hazikna, because he was old. Yisal Avodah, Tavod HaMikdash, he could not perform the Avodah of the singing. The year early, Shaina Misal El Lamar Shira, but he's not thrown out. He just can't sing. But he would open and close the gates. That would be his role. Okay? So everybody understands, if you can't physically do a job, you have to retire. That's what we've come away with this, correct? Right? I don't know many 70-year-old people working in construction. Right? Construction, take any field that requires a lot of carrying. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. Okay? That's what the Torah is telling us. Nothing more and nothing less so far. And we'll see in a moment. Okay? And we only have 10 minutes left. Okay? This is interesting. I'm going to do it quickly because of time. Source 21 says that there are certain characteristics. If you're going to be the highest Supreme Court of Israel, it's called the Sanhedrin, there are certain characteristics you have to have. One of the characteristics you have to have in 21, the last two words, Ba'alei Zikna. You have to be old enough to have experience, because if you don't have experience, you can't judge. You were talking about all the major cases, life and death, the future of the Jewish people. You have to be old. Okay? Yeah. You have to be old, because you have the experience. Now, look what it says. Sanhedrin Lamed Vav, that's what it says in Sanhedrin Yud Zayin. 22, Sanhedrin Lamed Vav, Netanya, Ein Meshivim Ve Sanhedrin Zakein Ve Sarius Umesha Ein Lo Banim. You can't put in the Sanhedrin a person who is old, right? Even his great Talmud Chacham, his Sarius, someone who's a eunuch, Ve Umesha Ein Lo Banim, and nobody had, and didn't have children. Why not? So Rashi explains, Sheh Shachach Kfar Tzar Gidul Banim Ve Ein Rachmani. This is the old man, the old grumpy man says, get off my lawn. If you don't have a sensitivity for young children, right, because of whatever characteristic it is, he gives three characteristics here, you can't be put on the Sanhedrin. You just said you have to be old to be on the Sanhedrin. How can you do both? So sources number 23, 24, 25 say, if you put on the Sanhedrin as young, now you're older, and even if you start to be a little grumpy, you don't take them off. Others say, no, Rambam 25 says, you do take them off, but you have to be able to do the job. Okay? So the second principle, first principle was, if you can't physically do it, you can't do the job. Second principle is, if you can't do the specific job, i.e., be a proper judge, because you no longer have sensitivity to children, or...
I didn't understand that.
I'll tell you again then. All right? Then you can be thrown off the Sanhedrin because you're too old, meaning you don't have the sensitivity to say, okay, we have to have Rachmanis. Okay? All right. Now, that's all this is in the Gemara. Now we come to practicality. What do you do when somebody who is serving the community, we have 7, 8 minutes, can no longer do the job? How do you say to them, you can no longer do the job, right? It's one thing, that's the big advantage of saying you have to leave at 70, but that's not, that doesn't equal the fact that somebody can be just qualified at 70 and 75 if they count at 40. What do you do? Okay? So the Mordechai who lived in the 1000s, believe it or not, writes the following. Katav Rabbeinu Baruch Ra'iti Katu Bilchot Shchita. There was a shochet in town. Rav Eldad ben Machbay Abar. He came from the 10 tribes. Don't ask me to explain that one. They talk about that a lot. Bashchita Sura Miyad Isha Miyad Saris. A woman, even though she's allowed to do shchita, we don't say she should do shchira, but Saris. Miyad zaken la hasha avru alav teishana. 80 years old, you take him off being a shochet. That's what it said in the time of Umina and a young person until the age of 18. And he says, v'chumra ba'amahu. He says, that's not the halacha. The halacha is there's no fixed age, and therefore it's only a chumra. Then they came to the Rashba, and they said, again, I would love to read it inside, but because of time we can't read it inside. What happens when you have, this is about the Zakein. They ask, what happens if you have a shochet whose hand
shakes?
That's pretty hard to do shita like this, right? And yet, we'll see, okay? Just like you don't throw off, the Rashba says, a Zakein who no longer has this sensitivity to children, but he's been there for 40 years, he says, you don't throw him off. He says, cut in the end of the second line, nearly the kolshe utalui b'siba, kolshe yeshna siba inyan nigrarachar asiba. You always look at the situation. If he cannot perform the job, whatever the job is, it is grounds to throw him out. Okay? We didn't take somebody to have, because if he can do the job, now you can put in anything you want. A piano teacher no longer can teach piano, right? You can put anything you want. He says it's not dependent on the age, it's dependent on the competence. Okay? And then he says, V'sibata zikna achbrachazor. It's good if you become an angry old man, you can throw him off the Sanhedrin because he's an angry old man. Okay? Now, look what he said, the Rashba, same Rashba in 27 says in 28. How about the people who volunteer for shul and the people who volunteer for shul? Look what he says. Aval achshav na'azim tchola kililov l'manot ha'nashim al kol tzarpei tzibur lizman. Everybody has a expiration date. You can't say you can be president of the shul for 25 years. What do they call it in politics when you can't be reelected?
Term limits.
So they had, in shuls in his time, in Rashba, I'm not talking about today, I don't know, right? They, you have to have a term limit. You must have a change of the guard. Came with mazon, came with kupah, so anybody who was a gabai to give out food, because it's not healthy that the same people doing it for years and years and years and years and years. And then the line, afilu lo kabul lehem zman, staman, kafi, acher, okay, so that's the halakha lid. Then, source 29 is about the guy whose hand shakes. If he can perform the job, it says, he continues to be shoshokai. If he can't, he can't. Okay? And then, source number 30 is Rav Khatri, official Koresh, that's his name is, writes the following. We have no sources in our large compendium of sources that says there is age limits for a person who is doing a job. Mm-hmm. And he says, therefore, rabbis and others who serve the community, as long as they are competent to keep serving, they continue to serve. Now look at the, I want to read to you this. This is an unbelievable thing. From the second line in, I'll start from the second line to the beginning. In the chain of all of the generations, we never found that rabbis went out to pensions. The rabbi said, at a certain time. Like we know from our history. They served as rabbis. It's important to say as a parenthesis, do you think the idea that we have in B'nai Brak all these rabbis who are in the 80s, 90s, and they're the ones who are leading the community? Not a new thing. The people who are apparently, I don't know, maybe God blessed them or whatever, they were able to serve. He served to 100 years old, Rav Haigon, in the 900s. Barabbas in the 1400s, Shalani, Mitzrayim, Mitzvah, he was kicked out of Mitzrayim and he had to start again in France. He was the mentor to Rabbi Yosef Karo. He was over 100 years old. Now remember, this is a time when the average age was 40. Okay? Hechel Migil Shivim Shana. He started to serve at the age of 70. The Alamala Migishim Shana was over 90 when he finished. Or HaRabbe Rabbanim, Ki Yadua Lanu Mishosher Historia Shalanu. Ubizmanenu Anu Hayinu Edim Sharabbe Rabbanim Gronim Shim Shubitakideh Mechiosan Lamala Migishim Shana. Okay? Well, this is going to end. Just three ideas to end, because we are about to be ending. First thing we see that rabbis, as we said in the beginning, when they're old, they still will be vibrant and young. The older you are, if you keep your mind going, apparently you can keep your mind going. Look at most of the people, and it's not because of the Holocaust anymore, they're just the greatest geniuses are in their older years. But, okay, the halacha, what do you do? If the Supreme Court, you have to leave at 70, when a rabbi of the city who's a government employee gets 70 years old, what happens? It's because of this source that it's against Torah to throw somebody out because of age. They made the following law when it came to rabbis or people who serve in the city. You can't throw out a rabbi or somebody who is in some anything religious because of age, but every 5 years, he has to appear before the rabbis of the country or whatever and be recertified, if you will, that he's competent. They used this to try to get Rabbi Liskin out last year at the age of 75, because you know they wanted him to leave because he's still making trouble to the rabbis. But basically, that's the law in Israel. You can't throw anybody out who's a government employee in a religious area unless they are found to be incompetent, because that's what the halacha says. But look at source 31, I'm going to tell you what he says. It says, this is a Gemara, when Rav Yoshua ben Karcha died, Rebbe, give me a bracha. He says, my bracha is that you should only live to half my years. He looked at him and said, what's going on? He says, l'kulo, not to all your years? Amrlo haba'im acharecha, b'chema yereu. He says, his son of Rav Yeshua ben Karcha served as the rabbi after him. And because Rav Yeshua ben Karcha was so old, 100 years old, he only started serving at the age of 80. Okay? He says, I wish you should have only half my years, and your son should start serving much earlier. Is that interesting, Gemara? You think of old age as being something so great, but sometimes there's some negatives also. Okay? And finally, we said at the beginning about Moshe Rabbeinu retiring at the age of 80. Take a look at the source. Moshe, all of these people lived to 120, and their lives were divided into three. Moshe Hayah b'Mitzrayim mem shana. The first 40 years he grew up in the palace, and then you know what happened where he went out and he killed the Egyptian, etc., etc. U'b'Midyan mem shana, and he was in Midyan for another 40 years. Upirnes et Yisrael mem shana. The last 40 years of his life, he served the Jewish people. Okay, which was the most important? Obviously, the last 40 years. Same thing here. Hillel Azakein Alami Bavel ben mem shana. He was brought up and born in Bavel. Went with the Jewish people when he was 40. Shimesh Chachamim mem shana, and he served. Apparently, he wasn't. Remember, it goes out to the skylight. He wasn't as learned as some of the other rabbis. So he 40 years he learned by the rabbis to become expertise. Uprines es Yisrael, and he became the leader of the Jewish people for the last 40 years. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asak b'pragmatia. Matia, they say, is astronomy and mathematics. Mem shana. B'shimesh chachamim mem shana, and he was learned by other rabbis for 40 years. Uprines Yisrael mem shana. You see a pattern here? Rabbi Akiva lamad Torah mem shana. He first, they don't say the first 40 years he was a Amaharet, so it was a terrible sinner, right? Then he learned 40 years, and then the last 40 years he became the leader of the Jewish people. In all the cases, right, first of all they served till the age of 120, but more important is that their most important years were the last 40 years, right? Imagine Moshe had said, I'm going to retire, we wouldn't have a Moshe Rabbeinu, okay? So I say to you, Judy, again, to recap everything. If it's physical labor, we say physical labor or anything tied to the job, then if you can't do the job, you're not worth as much and you can't do the job. But if it's something that you are competent to do, there's no Jewish reason why you have to leave a job early. Okay? And finally, the best years, the last years, are often the best years. Don't say, I'm going to retire. Right? You can change the world. I can give you a list. I have this list that I compiled of people who, I think it was Albert Schweitzer started in 80, going with this, and there was a chief justice of some state at the age of 60 decided to go to law school. And he was a professional in orchestra till then. And you hear stories about people. And there's a film on HBO Max, if you're interested, called People Over 90. It's about Norman Lear, who's over close to 100. And they're all super active writing books. Carl Reiner wrote a book till he passed away a couple of years ago, every single year from the age of 87 to 96. And Carl Reiner. And the idea, and so it's not a Jewish, necessarily a Jew.
Mel Brooks
is still around. He's still around. Mel Brooks did a stand-up in Lincoln Philharmonic Hall, whatever, the new one called Geffen Hall, 3 months ago.
He's hilarious. He finished writing Pictures of Love.
They're held by too. He's making a movie now. Right. 97 years old. My point is, don't think that there's no such thing as retirement in Judaism. Just like there's no retirement to have to daven chakras tomorrow. Say, I've done enough chakras. You know, that's the thing. And therefore, the same thing is true. As long as your mind can function, as long as you can keep going, as long as you pick your areas of focus and continue to focus, you will be a better person for it. Not because you should do it, because you will be much more happy and satisfied. And that's what Judaism says about retirement.
Oh, yeah.